Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. If you could, Ephesians chapter 5. And so, we're going to be looking at dealing with darkness. What to do about darkness. We all know that the spiritual darkness we're speaking of, you know we have physical darkness, but spiritual darkness is in our world today. It's very evident. We are seeing it on full display right now around the world, unfortunately. We see what's going on. I don't know if you caught what's going on in our capital yesterday. Pro-Palestinian protests, you know, throwing red paint on the White House fence, death to Israel, God bless the martyrs and all of these things. Who would think these things would happen in America? And just terrible thing. And not, it's free speech, though, right? It's free speech. And of course, you know, when you show patriotism, you know, then you're put in jail. So that's something going on in our country. We look at that, that's darkness. Amen. You wouldn't have seen that happen after 9/11 20 years ago. That wouldn't happen. But we see that going on today. And, you know, what's going on in Israel? We talked a lot about this. Can we just, I'll just put it bluntly here. The Jews are still God's chosen people. Amen. And God is protecting them. Hamas and Hezbollah, they are terrorists. Pure and simple. That seek to completely annihilate Israel. Not only is it the Palestinian sentiment, but you look around many Middle Eastern countries, Lebanon, Jordan, they all say the same thing about Israel. They don't, in Egypt, they don't want Israel to exist. They're just a little bit more politically correct about it. So just be in prayer for Israel and also for our servicemen that are being sent over there. I know a contingent from Fort Cavazos headed out last week and you know, saw the plane, the charter plane flying off. You know, hope whenever you see that plane flying out of clean, you pray for the soldiers that are on it, wherever they're going. But Ephesians chapter 5. So what do we do about that as a Christian? Because many times we like to ignore it. We don't look to it, of course. We know we're not supposed to be a part of it. But how do we handle it? What is our relationship to the darkness? We know what it is, but practically speaking, how do we deal with that? Can I tell you something? Spiritual darkness is something that is, first of all, part of us, our sin nature, but also that darkness that is in the world, that is of the devil, that is of his demons. It's always constantly trying to encroach on our families, encroach on our personal relationship with God, and trying to get us to participate and to be in agreement. And we need to be wise of what is darkness today, because darkness takes many forms. And it takes some are very obvious, and of course we know we need to stay away from that. We know that we need to be careful with that. Then other things that are not so subtle, that are not so obvious, that are more subtle. And so we're going to look at a bit of a word study this morning. We're going to be dealing with our relationship to spiritual darkness in broader terms, but more specifically, how we are to treat and respond to it according to the commands of Scripture. God gives us great instructions here in Ephesians chapter 5 in regards to our relationship. What are we to do? Especially in relationship to things that we are involved in on a daily basis. We live in this world. We're not of it, but we live in it. So what are we to do in regards to keeping our testimony clean and our relationship with God pure? If we could stand together out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, beginning in verse number 6, we're going to go down to verse number 13 this morning. And so we're going to read responsively. I'm going to read verse number 6, and then you'll read verse number 7. And just as a quick reminder and a hint here, whenever we see punctuation, we take a quick pause, so that keeps everybody together. So begin verse number 6, and actually you can read out loud with me verse number 6, and then I'll let you read verse number 7. But here we go, begin verse number 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you, dear Lord. I pray that our hearts are bowed in humility to thy wisdom, to thy commands, to thy word, to thy majesty. Lord, we as your humble servants want to come before you this morning and ask a very simple and humble request. Lord, we desire to learn today. We desire to be instructed. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be right, our eyes would be open, our ears open, our minds ready to accept, and our hearts ready to apply. Dear Lord, be with us today. Meet with us in a special way. For Lord, I cannot reach hearts. I can only preach your word, but your word is enough to reach us and to guide us and to instruct us, Lord. Your spirit is enough to challenge us and to convict and rebuke wherever it needs rebuking and encourage where it needs encouragement. We thank you, dear Lord, for your infinite wisdom. You desire to meet with us. You desire for us to grow. You desire for us to go away different than when we came in. You don't want us to come in and leave as we came. For Lord, what a waste. For every time we encounter you, I pray that we would change and take steps closer and closer to you. I pray your special blessing this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What to do about darkness? You know, sometimes we can become discouraged. We can become overwhelmed. We see the darkness in the world today. It's like, it's too much. It's too much to think about. And we can become overwhelmed and discouraged. Guess what we look at? It seems like there's no light up there at all. God's light's still there. Amen. A big thing that what it really has to do is, what are we focusing on? Are we just going to focus on the bad? By the way, if you decide to focus on the bad, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be, what's the point? But we need to focus on the light, because it says here to walk as children of light. But this morning, we're going to take phrase by phrase here. We're going to begin verse number 6. So point number 1 this morning, take notes. Highly encourage you to do so. We're going to be taking a step by step through this passage this morning. We look first, number 1, let no man deceive you. Verse number 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So what's he talking about here? Well, you got to look at what's going on earlier on, a few verses before. On verse number 2 of chapter 5 says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Amen. Our sins are forgiven. Our sin had a cost. And now it's forgiven, but now verse number 3, but fornication, that is sexual relations outside of marriage. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Pause for a moment. He is not talking to lost people here. He is talking to Christians. He is talking to a church. The church at Ephesus is saying, look, you've been cleansed from all of this. Don't let anyone deceive you. We're going to see this in a moment. But you need to keep clean. Amen. We ought to keep clean and morally. And it just says, and not just, okay, good, I'm morally clean. There's a lot of uncleanness even though you're morally being clean. There's a lot of uncleanness, a lot of dirt, a lot of darkness in this world. And we see our covetousness, desiring an out of order desire for something that God has not provided and that God does not desire for you to have, which is idolatry. Here we go, verse number 4. Neither filthiness, which has the idea of having a dirty mind, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Nor foolish talking and jesting. A lot can be said here. But I tell you, we live in a generation and in a time and place where jesting and foolish talking is the accepted norm. And that we have a lot of, it's, we can talk about, has the idea here of, has filthiness, so foolish talking having to do, we could talk about, you know, dirty jokes or inappropriate speech. Has more than that, though. It has the idea of nonsensical speech, jesting about sinful things, making jokes, making light of sin. What should we now, wasting our time in speaking of these things? You know, we look at, well, I don't talk about these things. Can I tell you, social media is full of a lot of these things. We can talk with our fingers. Amen. Understand that the context here, the time period, it was a very arduous thing to write a letter. Today, we have the convenience of technology where we can write a letter in a fraction of the time it used to take someone to write one. And they didn't have like postage stamps, you know. We have email, we have instant communication. But we know the Bible and Proverbs says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. And in the multitude of those words, we need to keep our speech clean, our online presence clean, our emails clean, our speech among our friends clean. Don't let anyone deceive you. It's not okay. Verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now he's switching something here. It's okay, if you do these things, you're not saved. It's not what he's saying. Verse 5, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Is it who you're hanging out with? What fellowship do you have? If you're on fellowship with the lost world, if you're hanging out with them and you're letting that evil communication corrupting your good manners, guess what? Remember, those have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. You do. So our walk ought to be different. So then that brings us to what? Verse number 6. Here's the context. Let no man deceive you with vain words, with their filthiness and foolish talking and jesting. For because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So don't be involved in things. Don't let be deceived that it's okay for you as a Christian. People go to hell because of these things. People are burning in hell because of this sin. Yes, you're saved from sin, but these should not be once named among Christian people. That's a tall order, isn't it? What do we do with darkness? Keep it out of our lives. Need to keep it out of our mouth. Keep it out of our ears. Keep it out of our eyes. Keep it out of our minds and out of our hearts. Now, how do we do that? Well, first of all, realize that the world's out to deceive you. The world's out to tell you, hey, it's fine. The world's out there to deceive. I'm sorry, there are a lot of godly Christian people. Christian people. Air quotes here. That say, hey, it's fine. You know what? You know, people, you know, those preachers, you know, they're so uptight. You know? They're not with it. You know, I'm glad I'm not with it. You know, you see what being with it is out there? You know, I you probably might say being with it. You know, that's not a modern term. Isn't that like a 70s term, 80s to 90s? Is it a 90s term? 60s. Okay. So now you know who raised me, right? But my mom would say, man, you know, you don't need to be with it. You know, my mom grew up in the 60s. Anyway, and dad there. But yeah, so see, just hearing me talk, you know, I'm not with the modern stuff, you know. You know, it's not Slay. I don't even know how they talk today. Ever heard them do those little YouTube videos about how they talk and different? I can't understand a word they're saying. Not speaking the English language, Gen Z or whatever. But that being said, but what this passage is suggesting, that there will come a time when we have to decide if we're being deceived. Is what we're participating in, is it of the light or is it of the darkness? And there's a lot of deception that goes on to confuse the two. That there will be those who deceive you into believing something that is spiritually dark is acceptable. But 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I want you to understand something here. When we think of false prophets, what is a prophet? Okay, someone that tells the future. You know, we're thinking of the seance down the street or the tarot card person. They're a false prophet. A prophet is someone that just simply foretells something. If you want to look at the New Testament term, I am prophesying because I am forthtelling. I'm not foretelling. I'm giving forth what's in the Word of God. That's considered prophesying or preaching. Okay, and can I tell you this? There's a lot of preachers out there that aren't godly. They're preachers of the devil. Okay, there's some things. Guess what? The billboard, they're forth telling you something. Okay, the ads on TV are preaching to you something. And we have to understand there are a lot of things. Your news feed on Facebook is telling you something. Those recommendations on your Netflix, guess what? They're telling you something. They're forth telling you. They're preaching to you. They're saying, hey, this is okay. Can I tell you something? Don't be deceived. Just because Netflix or Facebook or Instagram or whatever says it's good doesn't mean it is. Amen. You know, I just interesting, you know, you go to Amazon or do you ever look at those, hey, because you watch this, we're going to recommend this. You know what? You know, we one time, you know, that's why I don't on Netflix anymore, because we were watching Andy Griffith or something, you know, like, you know, watching, you know, Dick Van Dyke Show, different things like that. Don't judge me. But, you know, we're watching some of those there. And, you know, because you watch this, here's this rated R movie. Okay. You know, and my wife's like, what in the world is going on? This was like, what, 12 years ago? It was a long time ago, even before we came here. And we're like, nope, not doing that, because they're really not interested in what you were watching. They were more interested in pushing their garbage on you. That's what they're interested in. Oh, guess what? Don't be deceived. Oh, well, I guess that's okay. You know, no, it's not. We must try everything by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures, whether it's of God or not. Because right at the end of the day, what do we see here? Proving, verse 10, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. That's what matters. It's not what we think is okay. It's what God says is okay. But then we begin to think, well, God's holy. Amen. That's our theme for the year. Be holy, for I'm holy. God's holy. God's perfect. Amen. And then we begin to start applying that. And then it's going to get into some areas that, guess what? If you go down this road, you're going to get your toes stepped on. Every single person is. Because there's always a corner of our heart and our life, a blind spot that the darkness likes to lurk, and the Holy Spirit will always drive it out. And it's uncomfortable, and it's hard. That brings us to number two. Number one, let no man deceive you. So let's not be deceived. Let's not be gullible. This talks about the idea here, but let no man deceive you. Don't be gullible. Don't believe everything you hear. You know what? There's people that are gullible because they're naive. There's people that are gullible because, like, hey, I have an out. You know what? Oh, sure, I'll go along with that because they're looking for that rubber stamp. They knew it was wrong, but they wanted to justify it somehow. There are gullible people who are naive, and there's gullible people who just want to justify why they're doing what they're doing. Well, they said it was okay. That's why the great responsibility of a preacher. Preacher said it was okay. Amen. It's always interesting that people say preachers is okay when you're allowed to do something, but it's not okay when preacher says you're not allowed to do something. Amen. Interesting how that works. Number two, walk as children of light, verse number 8. But it's not about what I say, it's about what God says. That's the end of the day. That's what it's about, God. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So number two, walk as children of light. You're not darkness anymore. You used to be like that. You used to be the idolater. You used to be the whoremonger. You used to be the fornicator. You used to have a filthy mouth. You used to do all of those things. You don't do them anymore. Because why? You're no longer darkness. Praise God, we're no longer darkness. Praise God, we're children of light. So walk like it. So look like it. So act like it. So talk like it. Should never be said among God's people to take God's name in vain. Amen. Or to cuss. Or to talk inappropriately. It is a shame to do such things. Should not be once named. Well, I only do it every once in a while, preacher. It's not that big of a deal. Once! It's not acceptable even one time to do those things. For God is displeased in that. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So what does that mean? Why is that little parenthetical there? Well, let's look at it. You know, since we're no longer in spiritual darkness, we're no longer spiritually blind, we're no longer what we used to be, then we should be walking in God's light. Simple, yet at times challenging. Simple phrase, simple thought, but at times challenging. Why? Because our flesh is still there. Can I also tell you this? Also, walking as children of light is not the popular route today. Not the popular route. Isaiah 2:5, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. That's what you need to do. Isaiah was calling Israel back to repentance, calling them back to the Lord to turn away. Come walk in the light like you used to. John 12:36, while ye have light, believe in the light. The words of Jesus, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. So while ye have light, speaking of himself, believe in the light. Amen. Now we have the light of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But here are some things to remember about light. Light reveals, it does not conceal. Amen? Darkness conceals. Light does not conceal things. Light reveals things. So when you come to the Word of God and you open it up, it is the light of God's Word. Lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. There we go. You know, you have it memorized and then just your brain just jams up. All right. A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's why I have you in the front row, brother. Amen. Thank you. Amen. But here, it's light. So when we look at it and when we study it, it's going to reveal itself to us and reveal things in us, some things that we're going to be comforted with, some things we're going to be encouraged with, some things we're going to be, oh, that shouldn't be there. It's like, well, preacher, it's been a long time. It's been a little while since I opened my Bible and since I studied it. You know, I bring it to church, but, you know, amen, by the way, I ought to have your Bible in church. If you're a regular attender, don't be using a pew Bible. Use your Bible. If you didn't bring it to church, then sure not reading it during the week. Amen. Amen. If you don't know where, well, I don't know where it is. You should always know where your Bible is. Amen. Some of us carry it on our phones as a backup, all right? But still, we look at it, it will reveal things. Well, preacher, you know, I've been a long time since I've studied the Bible on a daily. I have my devotions. You know why? Because you don't want things revealed to you. There's darkness there that you don't want revealed. Light reveals, it does not conceal. Second, light is obvious when it's present. Isn't it obvious, especially if you're in a really, really, really dark night, ever been out there, and then your driving is really, really dark out there. You know, I think of a dark night driving. We were coming back from El Paso. We were going through North Texas where it's flat. There's not a tree. There's nothing. Brush. It's like prairie grass. Flat, no houses, no towns, there's no light, and we were driving on a moonless night. Darkness. Darkness. I'm like, now I know why the U.S. military test stuff out here. There's no one out there to see it. And the three people that did, people wouldn't believe when they told them about it anyway. You know, I told my wife, and you know, I'm driving, and I was like, you know what? I wonder if we're going to see a UFO tonight. She's like, stop it. You know, maybe Bookfield will run out in front of us or something. I don't know. But, you know, it's dark out there. And guess what? You're thankful for those headlights. I was driving Mrs. Harvey's car. So if we hit Bigfoot, it was going to be her car, not mine. But not the current car. It was the other one. Anyway, but we were driving. And though the headlights, man, we're thankful. That light was obvious because it was so dark. I'm telling you, when we meet people that are Christians, the light's obvious, isn't it? Amen. It should be. Yeah, the witness of the Spirit. Man, you know, oh, I know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? And like, oh, man, it's so exciting to fellowship with people because light's obvious. You know what was sad is that, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? That's kind of surprising. You know, because you maybe know them a little bit and, you know, maybe you heard them talk. Maybe you've heard them talk in the break room and maybe you don't for a couple of years. Oh, yeah, I go to church. Really? Wow, that's interesting. What church do you go to? You know, and oh, I go to that new Baptist church. Really? Okay. You know, ever had that reaction to people? I did it by accident. Honest, I was like, oh, really? Oh, you don't think I go to church? Do you want me to be honest right now? Honesty is the best policy, right? I said, you don't know what to say. But it should be obvious. You know, when the light's not obvious, either one of two things. Either you've hidden it and shrouded it in darkness, or number two, you never had the light to begin with. Light's obvious when it's present. And also, number three, light always shows the truth of the matter. You know this if you are a mechanic and you work on a car, or you work in anything, you're working in the attic. Guess what? You can go up there without a light in the attic, or you can go underneath the car, you can look, and you can see, and you can try see that one bolt but up there, but until you get that flashlight, you're not going to see the truth of the matter. You can reach up your wrench up there and try and get the right size, but until you get that flashlight on it, you're not going to know what size wrench you need, what direction it needs to go, or what it even goes to. Why? It reveals the truth of the matter. Guess what? The light always reveals the truth. That's why we always take the Word of God and we shine its light upon it. Is this real or not? If this is how we avoid being deceived. We shine God's word on it. This is how we are to live our lives. That brings us to verse 10. What is acceptable to God? Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. But what is acceptable to God? Well, turn over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and we'll tell you. Because verse 9 tells us, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So what is acceptable to God? The fruits of the Spirit. So let's look at what they are. Galatians 5 and verses 22 through 23. So if what we're involved with doesn't fit the bill here, if it isn't going to grow these things, but the fruit of the Spirit is, here it is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, which is humility, temperance, self-control. We go joy and peace and other things. Long suffering means patience, patience and suffering. Gentleness, goodness, doing good things for those, thinking the best of people. Faith, trusting in the Lord. Verse 24, that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. But verse 23, meekness and temperance, against such there is no law. So this is what God wants us to be. These are the fruits he wants to see in our lives. This is light. Not darkness. This is acceptable to God. The darkness is going to tempt you to be proud. Oh, well, I know what's going on. I know what I'm doing. Oh, that's not meekness. You know what? I want things to happen now. I want it to happen now. I don't want to wait for God. I just want to know what I'm supposed to do. I want my plan now. Oh, that's not long-suffering. God, I'm done with this trial. I'm done with this. I want out now. I want to hit Control-Alt-Delete on my life. I want to reset. You know, that's what this generation wants. You know, when their marriages fall apart and their relationships fall apart and when their job falls apart, hey, go get a new one. That's darkness. That's not light. Faith. Peace. Joy. Do you have joy in the Lord? Amen. We have to have joy that we're in God's house. We have to have joy that we're here worshiping God. Joy that we're opening up the Word of God. Amen. It shouldn't be, oh, I can't wait to get out of here. That's not light. That's darkness. That's the flesh saying, I want out. Is that how we ought to be? No, it shouldn't be. But we've all been there because we're all human. We're all flesh. We all have that tendency. But recognizing it is the key. And point number three. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Righteousness and truth is what we need. Righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit, that which is right and that which is honest and true. But number three, have no fellowship. Okay, now we know what light is, we know what darkness is. Verse 11 tells us very clearly, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Here's where the word study comes in. So fellowship is the Greek word sunkoinonenu. In case you wanted to know that. But this what's interesting about this word is that it's only used three times in the New Testament. Don't you love how God uses specific words for a specific reason? And we're going to see that tonight as well. Oh, by the way, I'm talking about tonight. Tonight is the Lord's Supper this evening. It's first Sunday of the month, so we'll be observing the Lord's Supper this evening. Love to have you come and be with us. So it's only used three times in the New Testament. Once in Philippians 4:14 and again in Revelation 18:4. Has the idea to participate in or to commune with. So we think of fellowship, you know, as just hanging out. You know, we're just hanging out with somebody. But the fellowship here has the idea of partnership. So we're not to partake in it. We're not to commune with it. And we are not to participate. With what? Well, the unfruitful, which means empty and destructive. Is anything the darkness provide you, is it going to provide anything that's going to please God? Number one, no. Is it anything that is going to get you closer to God? No. Is it anything that is going to bring the judgment of God? Yes. So that's not good for you. That's like the plant saying, hey, man, I want to give me that arsenic, you know, give me that poison that's going to make me grow. No, it's not. We want to be fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. And these things are going to make us unfruitful. They are going to stunt our growth. They are going to get in the way of that which God wants us to have. So don't hang around with it, because it's going to get in the way. They have no profit for a Christian in God's kingdom. They benefit the enemy. The devil wants you on distraction. He wants you unfruitful. He wants you out of the fight. That's his whole job, is to, but he either destroys you by temptation and enticement. He seduces and brings you to a place of spiritual destruction, of sin and ineffectiveness. Number two, he brings you to defeat by lying in wait and ambushing you. Number three, he brings you just by full-on attack and destroying you. Can I tell you this? And this is so true. Was taught this many, many years ago, and this is very, very true, is that if he cannot deceive you, if he cannot tempt you, and he cannot buy you, then he will destroy you. And he'll do it a couple different ways. First, he'll try and destroy your testimony and your reputation. Then he will try and destroy the ministry that God has given you to do. And then third, if he can't do that, then he will try and destroy your life. He'll try and kill you. Understand, the devil's trying out to get you. Not just in a spiritual sense. He'll kill you if he gets a chance. And you know what? There's been too many accounts of Christian young people or Christian young adults or Christian adults that they were in the wrong place. They weren't where they were supposed to be. They were hanging out with the friends. The friends were drinking. They weren't. They got in the car and they died in the accident. They shouldn't have been there. It happens a lot more than you hear about. You know what? They were there. They were hanging out with friends. The friends are doing drugs. Guess what? Because they were there, they go to jail. Well, that's not fair. I'm sorry. That you're breaking the law. Well, I didn't do it. You still got a record anyway, because you were not in the right place. You were at the wrong place. Well, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. No, you're wrong place, period. The devil will do that to you. So how are we to, here it is, we come to the end of verse 11, but rather reprove them. Reprove has the idea, means to confront. You know what, we just say, well, you know, people have their darkness over here, and that's just what they do, and we'll just leave them alone, and we'll live in the light and the happy rainbows and the pot of gold, okay, over here. We'll love Jesus and have the rainbows. But can I tell you something? You're not doing any favors to people who are living in darkness. They need to be told that what they're doing is wrong. That's our job. But rather reprove them. What does that mean? To rebuke, to exhort, to tell a fault, not to the point of destruction, not to the point of drilling them into the ground, but hey, this is where your path's taking you. There's a better way. There's the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a path through this. There is a different path. You don't have to be on that path. You can come to Christ and be saved. You don't, even the Christian, you don't have to live in the place of defeat. You can have victory. That's what it means to reprove those works. Amen. We ought to reprove those works of darkness in each other's lives. Amen. So, you know, I'm really struggling in this, you know, but, well, when did you start struggling? Well, I started hanging out with these people and they don't encourage me the right way. You know what you need to do as a godly friend? Well, you don't need to hang out with those people. You don't need to, because that's where that's coming from. They're leading you down the wrong path. You need to go and get some good godly friends. I'm your friend. Amen. We need fellowship. Fellowship is an important part of things. It's not everything, but it's an important part. because we get lonely, don't we? We can get weary and lonely in well-doing. We need to fellowship with one another. That's why we're having Saturday for the men. We can fellowship together, encourage one another. You don't have to worry that there's going to be a dirty joke. You don't have to worry that there's going to be a keg of beer somewhere. You don't have to worry about any of that. It's church. Godly environment. And people that come that maybe do know those things know not to do those things. Amen. We hope. And we tell them very kindly, nicely, we don't do those things here. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, I love that longsuffering. Now, 2 Timothy is written to preachers, says longsuffering, that means patience. Oh, if you're going to be a preacher, you need to be patient. Because you can say the same thing over and 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 over again, and they don't listen. Then the evangelist comes in and they listen to the evangelist. Or the missionary. But stay in that for 3 years. But pray, you know what I do? I would praise God. They listen. Amen? Got to be patient. Got to be patient with your kids. Oh, sometimes you're in that position. You're trying to teach your kids something. And they do over and over. They have the same problem. They have the same failing. And they're doing it over and over and over and over and over again. And you're just ready like, oh! Don't give up. We give up sometimes, like, forget it. They're just not going to get it. This is just how they are. Don't give up the fight. Keep going. Be loving. Be reinforcing. Keep going, because guess what? One day they're going to get it. Rebuke, exhort. Rebuke has the idea of this is what you're doing wrong. Exhortation has the idea of here's what you need to do to make it right. Too many times we spend a lot of time telling people what's wrong, but we don't spend a whole lot of time telling them how to fix it. Both have to be in place. Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all, here it is, authority. Let no man despise thee. What is he saying? Well, people are going to despise you whether you like it or not. But he said, don't let that them despising you get to you. Don't let that make you think that what you're saying is not true or right or important. It's a rebuke with all authority. You have my authority to do so. God's authority. The authority of the scriptures. And that brings to what do we use to rebuke and exhort? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For here it is, for reproof. Turn over there, 2 Timothy 3. You need to see this. So whenever we're rebuking and we're exhorting and confronting, we're using the scriptures. Not your personal opinion. Not the book of Second Opinions, chapter 3. Oh, we can get in the flesh and we go, well, my opinion is, well, it might line up with scripture, but you better use scripture to do it. Because guess what? When you are using your own authority, no one's going to listen to you. That's why it says, with all authority. Whose authority? God's authority. What you're saying, by the way, sticking with the scriptures will make sure you stay in control of what you're saying. You know what happens in Christianity? A lot of people say, well, because of all the rebuking. No, you know what the problem is? It's not the rebuking. It's the uncontrolled rebuking of people and their opinions. That is what's given Christianity a bad name. Their rebuke that is out of control, that is not controlled by the Spirit, that is not in line with Scripture. That's what's given Christianity a bad name. And that's not God's fault. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. It means we need to do it right. We have this idea today, well, it's not our job to rebuke the culture. I'm sorry, isn't this what God's saying? You see it too, don't you? This is what we're to do. We're to rebuke it. We're to say, no, this isn't right. No, it's not right for people to stand in our streets and stand in our nation's capital and say, hey, death to Israel. We need to rebuke that. It's wrong. It's an affront to God's people. But 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, you with me, is given by inspiration of God. It's not by man, it's by God. And is profitable, that means useful, for doctrine, what we believe. For, here's the next one, for reproof. I say it again, for reproof, for correction. It has the idea of exhortation. So not only reprove that which is wrong, but to correct what's wrong. Man, aren't you glad God gave us that? Showed us what's wrong and then tell us how to fix it. For instruction in righteousness. Not only to, hey, stop what you're doing. You need to turn this way. And instructions for walking the right path. Instruction for righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect. Not the idea of perfection, but the idea of complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what we use. We use God's word to rebuke the darkness in our own lives and in the lives of other people. Let's use God's word wisely as the sword it was intended for, a source of hope. What I hate to see, and I'll just say this right here, I'm stepping in a little bit of a rabbit trail for a minute, I'm almost done, is that what I hate to see, what I've seen so destructive, is that using the word of God to browbeat people and belittle people to make them do what you want them to do. That is not the purpose of God's word. Do I get an amen to that? It's not for you to go on a power trip with. Well, you need to listen to me because God said. Is that what Jesus said to people? No, he didn't. He declared who he was. He did rebuke those who didn't, but he also simply let people make their own decisions of whether they believed in him or not. God doesn't force himself on us. He is a perfect gentleman. He doesn't make us do anything that we don't want to do. He leaves us to make our own choice. He gives us free choice to either accept or reject him. We need to use God's word to rebuke. This is a very important area that if we're going to rebuke, that we do it, number one, controlled by the Spirit of God. Number two, in line with the scriptures of God. And number three, at the behest and timing of God. Because you can rebuke at the wrong time. Amen. You know what people are going through? You know, their child's been in a car accident because, what I said before, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. They weren't where they're supposed to be. They're with the ungodly friends. You know what? And by the way, there have been preachers that have done this. They come up and like, oh, you know, preacher, what do we do? Well, you know what? I guess I told you about this. I told you. You know, this is just what happens. Can you guess what? That's why people leave church. And that's why people turn against God. You know what? The mistake's been made. You need to have compassion and grace. Amen. And be there with them, that God is with them in the midst of their trial. Guess what? We all have things that we have consequences for in our lives. But we still have a God of compassion, a God of love, a God who wants to restore us. So that's I mean, like, man, preacher, that's a tall order to rebuke, but do it the right way. It is a tall order, but God wouldn't have told us to do it if it was impossible to do. It's possible. So don't play around with darkness. Let's not play around with the darkness. Let's not make excuses for the darkness. You know, people say, oh, preacher, well, that's just the day and age we live in. It doesn't make it right. We are to rebuke using God's word so that others may avoid the same traps. Hey, there's a big pit right here. Stay away from it. And don't look down people that are in the pit. Well, it's your fault you're there. Too bad for you. No, what did we sing the wonderful song? They lift me from what? The miry clay. Guess what? You know what Jesus did? We'll go down and reach you and pull you out of there. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. You could be in the pit. That could have been you. Aren't you glad you had people in your life and you had the word of God and you listened to it? But guess what? We all make our own mistakes. And you know what? In those mistakes, you can use those to help other people avoid the same trap in the same pit. All of us have scars from being in pits. You know what you do? Well, that's right. I never tell anybody about my pits. I never tell anybody about the troubles I've been in, the scars I have. I'm not going to tell anybody about that. You know what? You need to tell people about how to stay away from them. You know what? Some of the most powerful testimonies that have been in the ladies' group or here in church or different places have been people that have been in the pit. And they're ashamed they were in the pit, but they're not too ashamed to say, you know what? You stay out of that same pit. God used this in my life, and I want you to stay away from that same pit. Those are powerful testimonies, especially for young people. Because you know what young people are tempted to think? The devil comes up to them and says, you know what? You know what? All those things that your parents are telling you, all those things that preacher's telling you, all those things your teachers are telling you, all those things to stay away from, it's really not that bad. It's really not that dangerous out there. They're just a little overprotective, you know. It's just, you'll be just fine out there. Baloney. The devil's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We're trying to warn you. The lion's out to get you. And he almost got some of us. So stay away from the pit. So don't play around the darkness. Don't play around the darkness at school. Don't play around the darkness at work. Don't play around the darkness any place. But walk as children of light. That's what we do about darkness. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I pray, dear Lord, that you would work in our hearts, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, if darkness has crept in unawares, Lord. Your light has shone in and revealed it. But Lord, what a travesty if we know where the darkness is, that we not deal with it right here, right now, today, at this moment, at the altar. Lord, I pray if there's been darkness in our life that needs to be rebuked, I pray that we confess it right now and we not delay. Lord, maybe we've been quiet in rebuking the darkness. We've tolerated it in our families. We've tolerated it in our lives. We've tolerated it in different areas. We've tolerated it at work. We make excuses for it. Oh, Lord, that we would rebuke that darkness. Lord, help us to see there's nothing wrong with speaking up and saying, hey, that's wrong. Help us have boldness to say, Lord, that's not pleasing to the Lord. Lord, help us to have that boldness to say, hey, we shouldn't be talking like that. That's displeasing to the Lord. Oh, Lord, that if we are told, well, we're just holy rollers and we're Bible thumpers, Lord, what a wonderful title to have. Because we love you and we love the people we're speaking to. Give us boldness to rebuke and to exhort. But Lord, we're also tempted to fall into those same traps. I pray that you would bless our time of invitation today. Bring people to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.